Rise and Shine, everybody. How's it going out there? My name's Amy, and I am so excited to be in the station again today. It's time for Amy's Kids Show, and I haven't been here live in the station. I have not been here live in the station for a couple of weeks now, and so I'm back, and I'm really excited because we're going to keep on rushing around in Russia. So I need to catch everybody up to where we left off. Does anyone remember? Well, a few weeks ago, we started reading a book called The Genius Under the Table. And today, we are going to keep reading this book by Eugene Yelchin. Where are we up to? We're up to chapter 28. We're going to start with chapter 28. And this book is just so wonderful. It's about Eugene, the author, when he was growing up behind the Iron Curtain in Russia. Now, I'm thinking Eugene Yelchin, the author, is probably somewhere around my age because I also grew up during the Cold War. Has anybody ever heard of that before? The Cold War? Well, the Cold War was a war, sort of, that the United States of America, my country, was having with Russia, Eugene's country, when we were both growing up. And the Cold War was a war without bombs, without a lot of fighting. And it was sort of a strange war about just getting ready to fight and threatening each other with fighting and all these kinds of things. And so when I say threatening, I mean our governments were sort of threatening each other. It was sort of interesting how governments act that way sometimes. But the reason why we're reading this book, and I think reading it now is really perfect, is because it helps us understand that no matter what our governments do and say, they say and do all kinds of strange and funny things, and mean things sometimes, we need to remember that we, the people who live in Russia, like Eugene Yelchin, who wrote this book, the people who live in the United States, like me and you, if you're listening, or wherever you happen to be living, your people too, we are all alike. Right, we're all so similar. We all enjoy the same things. And one of the things we all most enjoy that makes life most enjoyable is, of course, freedom. And freedom is what we've been celebrating. So we are celebrating freedom with The Genius Under the Table. We're going to keep reading in a little bit. But let's learn a little bit first about our friends over there in Russia. We're going to learn a little bit about Russia. We're going to learn how to sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat in Russia. And then I'll be back for the story. Thank you for joining me, folks.
Federal districts of Russia are Central District, Far East District, North Caucasus District, Northwest District, Siberia District, South District, Ural District, and Volga District.
From Lake Baikal to Shorsky National Park, the Catherine Palace shines its light in the dark, land of the leopard and St. Basil's Cathedral. Golden Ring and Nizhny Novgorod, Vladivostok and Volgograd, Okroshka pickled cucumber, borscht and kiso. Forward Russia, onward bound to St. Petersburg and Moscow. Sochi is a beautiful town, let's learn about Russia now.
The national flower of Russia is chamomile. And the national animal of Russia is the Eurasian brown bear.
Sunflower seeds and sugar beets, azaleas, crocuses, and dahlias, the white-tailed eagle, fur seal, beluga whale, and chickadee. Pyotr Tchaikovsky, Alla Pugachova, Olga Glazova, Ivan Kupala, Russian guitar, boondock, kino, and tambourine. Forward Russia, onward bound to St. Petersburg and Moscow. Sochi is a beautiful town. Let's learn about Russia now.
The population of Russia is almost 147 million people. The official language is Russian, and the official unit of currency is the Russian ruble.
The Wild Mint Folk Festival. The boats with scarlet sails are beautiful. Maria Sharapova, Peter the Great, and Irving Berlin. Gymnastics, volleyball, and hockey. Figure skating, football, and Dostoevsky, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Forward Russia, onward bound to St. Petersburg and Moscow. Sochi is a beautiful town. We've learned about Russia now.
Веслами лодочка плыви вниз по речке, в сказку нас неси. Шлёп, шлёп, веслами лодочка плыви вниз по речке, в сказку нас неси.
folks. We are going to get started on our reading today of The Genius Under the Table by Eugene Yelchin, Growing Up Behind the Iron Curtain. And I like to start with that Russian lullaby. I hope people don't mind that I'm playing that every time before I read this book, because it's sort of my way of doing a dedication or a shout out to Eugene's dad, his father, who we are learning about in this book. We learned a little bit about him last time that I read. We've learned that he loves poetry, right? And so that Russian lullaby has some really beautiful poetic verses that rhyme and are beautiful, and they're about freedom, which is about what this book is about too. And it's also about finding your special talent, which has a lot to do with freedom, actually, right? We have to be free in order to discover our special talent. And so that's what this story is about, Eugene growing up. And where does he have freedom? Well, it turns out, we learned last time, about the only place that Eugene has freedom and privacy, which we're going to learn about today too, privacy. He has a private place, just one private place in the whole world. And where is that? It's under his dining room table, because that's where he sleeps at night. And he's been drawing under the table with his father's stolen pencil. He steals his dad's pencil at night and goes under the table to draw. And that's his private place, and that's his private special talent. And because he's growing up in Russia behind the Iron Curtain, privacy is something they don't have, right? It's something that the government does not give them. And so their government acts like things are not abundant. Their government acts like there's a scarcity and there's not enough for everybody. But do you know what I just learned about Russia? I think this is really interesting. It turns out that in Russia, the country, Russia, today, there are only half the number of people that there are in the United States. So the United States of America has double the people that Russia has. And guess what? Who do you think has more land? Who do you think has more space to live? Well, the Russians. Actually, Russia is bigger than the United States of America, if you can believe that. So they have more land and less people. Why isn't there room for everyone? Well, it's because of this lie, right? This lie that the people are told that there's scarcity, there isn't enough. And so where do they live? Well, in one little room, there is Yevgeny, which is the author. That's what he was called when he was growing up, Yevgeny. He lives in this one room with his brother, Victor, who's an older brother, who is a figure skater, and he's very strong and very brave. He lives there with his mother and father and his grandmother. His grandmother's really funny, and she really loves Yevgeny. And they live in this one room in this communalka. And a communalka is an apartment that they share with other people. So other people have rooms too. And one of those people just happens to be a KGB spy named Blinov. Now, Blinov is a spy, and we're going to learn more about him, because last time I read, Blinov overheard Yevgeny's mom and dad having a private discussion. They thought they were in private, and so they were sharing their true feelings, and it turns out Blinov was listening. And what were they talking about? Well, they were talking about Yevgeny's mom's favorite ballet dancer. See, Yevgeny's mom loves ballet. In fact, she probably wants to be a ballet dancer. If not a ballet teacher, but she's not allowed to be either of those things. And we're going to find out a little bit today about why. And so she really loves this famous dancer called Misha Baryshnikov, or Mikhail Baryshnikov, but she calls him Misha. And she loves him so much, she wishes her son would be like him. She wishes that her son Yevgeny had a special talent for ballet dancing. And that's where we left off, was Yevgeny had just auditioned at his mom's ballet school, where she works with the kids, and he had just been accepted to the ballet school. So here we go, folks. The Genius Under the Table, Chapter 28. Mom telephoned Dad's office to tell him the exciting news. "Yes, yes, yes," she shouted into the phone. "Konstantin Mikhailovich agreed to take him. What? No, no, it's not official yet. Yevgeny must pass the medical examination first. What? Worried? About the medical examination? Why should I be worried? He's a healthy and beautiful child. What? I never said he was skinny. He eats well. He finishes everything on his plate. What kind of question is this? Of course he's happy. Wait, he'll tell you himself. She pressed the phone against my ear. Daddy wants to know how happy you are. Tell him, darling. Dad? I said into the phone. The guy said I lack entirely in the required qualities such as pleasing general appearance, adequate body proportions, and coordination, but he was willing to overlook my complete lack of artistic talent. Wonderful, wonderful, Yevgeny, Dad shouted. Congratulations. To celebrate my success, Mom bought me a cup of vanilla ice cream. We sat on a park bench. The sun was shining, wet trees sparkled like diamonds, and pigeons splashed in the puddles. It was nice. Can I ask you a question, Mom? Of course, honey. Go ahead. Konstantin Mikhailovich said that in your youth, you had aspired to become a ballerina, but cruel fate had decided otherwise. What does that mean? Mom shrugged and said, Agrippina Vaganova didn't accept me to the academy when I was your age, honey. She said I did have the required qualities, but... But what? It wasn't about me. She couldn't take me because of my father. Your father? You mean my grandfather? What did he do, Mom? She smiled, but it was not a happy smile. He didn't do anything wrong, Yevgeny. It was just a mistake. Please, don't ask me again. And when her smile was gone, her face became as hard as my dad's face in the beer hall. I wondered if not letting Mom become a ballerina had something to do with that Stalin fellow. It must have been one of those mistakes Dad refused to tell me about. You know what's funny, Mom? I said to try to cheer her up. I'd always thought you were a famous ballerina. Did you? Because of the way you look. She laughed, pleased. But I'm glad you're not a famous ballerina, Mom. When I was a little kid, I was always afraid you might defecate. Yevgeny, defect, not defecate. She suddenly looked worried, probably thinking about Baryshnikov going to Canada soon. Chapter 29. That night, from under the table, I heard Dad complaining as usual. I'm warning you people, if my pencil is not returned immediately, I'm going to body search everyone. I'm ready, Grandma said. Mom said, go to sleep. If I could sleep, would I be asking for my pencil? Sure you ever had it, Dad? My brother said. Sure, I'm sure. What are you, calling me crazy? Don't answer him, Victor, Mom said. Pretend everything is normal. If this is normal, Grandma said, I'm Baryshnikov. Please, Mama, leave Misha out of it. Mom turned off the lights and began sighing. What's with the sighing? Grandma said. Someone died? What I love about Misha, Mom said in the dark. His magnificent talent is the very thing that'll make me lose him. The Americans will take one look at his grand jeté and snatch him away. You stop sighing, Dad said. Your Misha will return. Think Blinov didn't report on me? They'll watch Baryshnikov like hawks on that tour. Like hawks, they will. He'll have no chance of defecting. He'll have no chance of defecting. How do you know? After what I said in the kitchen? Will they listen to you? I could hear hope in Mom's voice, but when Dad did not answer, I knew that he was just trying to make Mom feel better. Chapter 30. When Mom took me to see Baryshnikov again, he was dancing Prince Albrecht in the ballet called Giselle, his last appearance before he left for Canada. The performance was sold out weeks in advance, and the ticketless citizens, hoping to squeeze in for free, swarmed all the entrances. The Kirov's lobby was buzzing like a beehive. Everyone was terribly excited. Still, Mom managed to inform every person we passed that Konstantin Mikhailovich had agreed to take me at the Vagonovka. Mom's friends were very happy for me. They shook my hand and slapped me on the back. By the time we reached the backstage door, the ballet had started. Mom tilted her head to one side and listened to the orchestra. Act 1, Scene 1. The gamekeeper, who's in love with Giselle, is trying to convince her that Albrecht is a nobleman disguised as a peasant. Giselle ignores him. The fireman in the brassy helmet was guarding the door.
Not allowed.
What do you mean, not allowed? Mom said. Step aside at once, Peter Ivanich.
Can't do. The house is sold out. The wings are packed above the allowable capacity. What if we had a fire? What then? All exits are obstructed.
Why should we have a fire? What nonsense?
Do not raise your voice at me, Comrade Yelchina.
Who's raising whose voice? Mom shouted. Step aside, Peter Ivanich. I tugged at her sleeve. Let's go home, Mom.
She glared at me, offended by my ridiculous suggestion, grabbed my shoulders and shoved me at the fireman.
Look for yourself, Peter Ivanich, my son Yevgeny, accepted, by the way, to the greatest classical ballet institution in the world, whose graduates include the greatest dancer in ballet history, Mikhail Boryshnikov, by the way, who, at this very minute, dances Prince Albrecht in the disguise of a peasant while we're wasting time talking to you, you ignorant brute.
At that moment, three men in black suits, puffing on cigarettes, passed under the no-smoking sign. The fireman leaped aside and stood at attention while the men filed in through the backstage door.
Simply outrageous, shouted Mom. Why are you letting them in?
Before the fireman could slam the door after the men, the last one in line paused to look over at Mom.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Yelena Yakovlena, disrupting the performance with such behavior. Of all the people, you should know better.
Guess who it was? Our neighbor Blinov, the KGB informer.
I ought to thank you for my promotion, Yelena Yakovlenina. My report about the devious plans of defection by Comrade Baryshnikov was taken seriously. Not that my superiors didn't already suspect.
Blin, someone called out from the other side of the door. Coming or what?
Coming, coming, Blinov called back and turned back to Mom. They're sending me on the tour, Yelena Yakovlevna. First time to a foreign country. I'll be by Comrade Baryshnikov's side at all times, so don't you worry your little head about him. He'll be back. I promise.
Blinov leaned toward me so that his eyes were just inches from mine. His eyes were cold and colorless like two splinters of ice.
A little birdie told me you might be starting the ballet school in the fall. Congratulations, young Yelchin. That's a privilege. But did you know we don't allow children at the Yaganova Ballet Academy whose fathers and mothers are...
Leave my child alone, Mom yanked me away from Blinov.
He leaned back smirking, puffing on his cigarette.
I suggest you raise your political awareness, Yelena Yakovlevna, he said, blowing smoke into my mother's face. Ballet is not just silly dances, you know. Comrade Baryshnikov is our weapon in the struggle against the United States of America.
In case you forgot, it's the Cold War, my dear. Chapter 31. A few weeks later, Blinov disappeared. All that was left of him was the stench of tobacco smoke behind the kitchen door. Nobody in our communica knew what had happened, but tenants, relieved not to be spied on, talked louder in the kitchen and even complained about our government. One morning, we saw the door to Blinov's room wide open and all of his stuff was gone. Next, a nice young couple with a baby and a Siberian tomcat moved into Blinov's room. The cat's name was Misha, same as Baryshnikov's. My mother and I never did get to see Baryshnikov dance before he went to Canada, but we could see his face every time we passed a display of one of Leningrad's most talented youth, set up about two blocks from our apartment building. A red banner ran below a bunch of black and white photographs. Long live the participants of the Communist Youth Congress. That Congress had ended ages ago, but the photographs of the youths who had participated in it and the red banner were still up. Soggy from spring showers. Every time Mom passed the display, she would stop to admire the photograph of Baryshnikov, the one on the left, and say a thing or two about his artistic talent. But after Baryshnikov left for Canada, Mom would hurry past his photograph without stopping, looking like she was about to cry. Baryshnikov, too, looked miserable in the picture. He was meant for flying through stage lights, not sitting through boring speeches at the Communist Youth Congress. Chapter 32. Imagining Baryshnikov flying in the lights made me terrified about Yaganovka. Come fall, not only I, but my mom, too, were up for one serious humiliation. If I could not fit anywhere other than under my grandma's table, how could I ever fit into the greatest classical ballet institution in the world? In the end, it was my father who saved me. He had such a brilliant thought one night that he got out of bed in search of his pencil and found me drawing under the table. "What's going on here, Yevgeny?" He pointed the beam of his flashlight, made in communist China, at my hand holding the pencil. "Please, Dad, don't be mad." He snatched the pencil from me. "My son is vandalizing furniture with my stolen pencil, and I should be mad? It's wonderful! I couldn't be happier." "I'm sorry, Dad." "Why should you be sorry? You're having a good time. It's me who's losing brilliant thoughts every night."
"I'm sorry, Dad."
"One more sorry out of you and I'm turning violent. I'm warning you." Dad had never turned violent before. I was safe, but I felt bad about taking away his brilliant thoughts.
"Why can't you get another pencil, Dad? We're not that poor. And also, what kind of brilliant thoughts do you have?"
"Do I remember what kind of brilliant thoughts? That's the whole problem."
He pointed the flashlight at the bottom of the table, covered with my drawings. He stared at them for a long time.
"Good God," he finally said. "I had no idea."
Next, all the lights in our room were ablaze.
"Wake up! Wake up, people!" Dad was hollering. "We've got a genius under the table!"
Oh, and I wish you could see this drawing. This book is full of drawings that the author did. And it's a picture of his dad holding him, holding Yevgeny up and flying him through the air. He's so proud of his son. That's all Yevgeny ever wanted, right? Was to make his parents proud. Chapter 33. The very next day, Mom came home with a present. "I kept these at work because I wanted to give it to you on your first day at Yaganovka, but..." She handed me something wrapped in brown paper. "A little big, sweetheart, but don't worry, I'll take them in."
I squeezed the package, trying to guess what was inside. "Open it up already," Grandma said. "I may not live this long." I tore the package open and nearly passed out. "That a present?" Grandma said, disappointed. "A pair of britches?" "Don't call them britches, Grandma. These are blue jeans, made in America by Levi Strauss." "A Jew made those britches?" Grandma said. "Let me feel them." I had seen blue jeans in the old American movies my brother used to take me to, but I did not know that the jeans were blue because the movies were in black and white. But lately, American tourists had flooded into our city, and most everyone, even the ladies, wore blue jeans. I had really wanted a pair, but like any American goods, blue jeans were not sold in our stores. To approach foreigners was against the law, but wherever the Americans went, the same shifty characters that sold tickets behind the Kirov approached them. They bought stuff from those Americans and sold it at 10 times what they paid to those Soviet citizens who wanted to look like they just returned from a trip to a foreign country. "They must have cost a fortune," I said. "What will Dad say?" "Not a fortune. Misha gave me a very reasonable price." "What?" I gasped. "These are Baryshnikov's jeans?" "Yes, Yevgeny, these are Mikhail Baryshnikov's jeans." Afraid to drop the jeans to the floor, I carefully set them on the table. Mom smiled at me. "Perhaps you can't be our next Baryshnikov, Yevgeny, but at least you can have his jeans. And someday, I am sure of it, you'll fill them out as an artist in your own right." "You're giving him used britches?" Grandma said. "Very lightly used. Misha was selling his old clothes before he went to Canada." "Why was he selling his old clothes, Mom?" I said. "Is he not coming back?" Mom gasped, and her hand flew to her open mouth. Chapter 34. Usually, when my brother burst into our room hurricane style, loud, laughing, flexing his muscles, he made everyone happy. But this time, Victor did not burst in. This time, he snuck in, closed the door with such care, as if it was made of glass, and stood sideways as if he could not look at Mom with both eyes. "What's wrong?" she said, spinning the handle of her sewing machine. I was leaning over Mom's shoulder, watching Baryshnikov's jeans getting shorter in the leg and tighter in the waist to fit me. "You know those pictures down the street?" Victor said. "The Communist Youth Congress?" I thought of Baryshnikov looking miserable in the soggy photograph. He must have been much happier now, dazzling foreigners in Canada with his artistic talent. "Those pictures are still up," Victor said quietly. "Except one." Mom stopped stitching and looked up at Victor. "They took Misha down?" Victor stared at his shoes. "What does it mean, Mom?" I asked. "Why did they take his picture down?" Mom did not answer and went back to spinning the handle of the sewing machine. Her tears dotted Baryshnikov's jeans, which were getting smaller and smaller under the flickering needle. Chapter 35. Baryshnikov defected, but not a word of his defection appeared anywhere. His name was never again mentioned on the radio, the television, or in the newspapers. The Kirov's announcements of its new season's ballets were printed with someone else's name, assigned to dance Baryshnikov's parts. The greatest Russian ballet dancer vanished without a trace. That's called censorship, folks. Listening out there, censorship. When things are erased,
from the media, and you're not allowed to see them. Thanks to Baryshnikov's defection, I never got to wear his blue jeans outside of our apartment. The first time I put them on, Mom's eyes swelled with tears. She left the room quickly, and by the time she was back, the jeans were folded and put away in the wardrobe. She did not mention it, but I could tell she was grateful. The following day, I waited until Mom left for Vaganovka, put on Baryshnikov's jeans, and stood before the mirror pretending to be an American. "Give her poison better," Grandma said. "What? You want to kill your mama? Better to give her poison than wear those britches." Eventually, Grandma and I made an agreement. I could wear Baryshnikov's jeans in our room while Mom was at work. I could even wear them to the bathroom if no neighbors were in the kitchen. But by the time Mom was expected to return, the jeans had to be stored in the wardrobe. A few months later, I was too big for the jeans. I was growing fast. Mom found out, probably from Grandma, that the jeans did not fit me anymore and suggested that I give them away. The very next day, some kid showing great promise at Vaganovka was wearing Baryshnikov's jeans. Chapter 36. A year or so had passed before I owned my own pair of blue jeans. They were almost new. I inherited them from my brother. Victor and his partner, Irina, became so good at figure skating that they were allowed to travel to foreign countries with our Olympic team. They didn't win any important competitions, but they brought back suitcases full of foreign outfits. And I was in one of those outfits, very lightly used by my brother, when I came home one day to find Mom and Dad having tea with some strange lady. She was about as old as Grandma, but if Grandma's face was all sharp angles, the lady's face was made up of circles. "Allow me to introduce my son," Mom said. "Yevgeny, say hello to Tatiana Georgievna Bruni. I'm sorry, Tatiana Georgievna Bruni, our legendary ballet designer and most extraordinary artist." "Your parents are telling me you have quite a talent," the lady said with a pleasant smile. "May I see your drawings?"
"She wants to see his drawings?" Grandma said. "She gets down on her knees to see his drawings."
"Mama!" Mom gasped, blushing.
"Hope her knees are strong as her age, that's all I'm saying."
"I can flip the table," Dad suggested.
"She wants to see his drawings," Grandma said. "She crawls like I crawled."
"I'm sorry, but," the lady looked around in alarm. "I don't understand."
"What is it, rocket science?" Grandma said. "The boy draws underneath the table." She glared at my dad. "What are you sitting there for, Mr. I Can Flip It? So flip it already."
While Dad was taking off his jacket and rolling up his sleeves, Mom cleared the table. The lady held her teacup in the air because Mom snatched away her saucer. The lady tried to set the teacup down without the saucer, but Mom yanked the tablecloth off the table. Startled, the lady scraped back her chair, bumped into the wardrobe, and spilled tea in her lap.
"Pardon me, Tatiana Georgievna," Dad said, and clutched the edge of the table. His face turned red, then purple, then blue. The table would not budge.
"A very old table," Grandma said to the lady. "They made things good in your youth. Solid oak."
It was not oak, of course, plain old pine, but it must have taken three whole pine trees to build Grandma's table.
"I were you, I'd be calling a doctor," Grandma said to Mom. "Your husband is getting himself a nice hernia."
Mom and Dad exchanged panicked looks.
"I am sorry to have troubled you, Tatiana Georgievna," Mom said. "I don't know what I was thinking. Yevgeny's drawings are on the underside of the table, and my husband can't seem to."
But Tatiana Georgievna turned out to be a good sport. She laughed.
got down on her knees, and crawled under the table. Then my dad did, and then my mom, and then Grandma gave me one of her looks. "What are you standing? He's standing. Get down there. That lady is no small potatoes." I crawled under the table. It was pretty crowded in there. I was not sure how to feel with all of them inside my private space, looking at my drawings. "Your line is very nice," Tatiana Georgievna said. "Expressive." Dad cleared his throat and said, "Your mother and I were talking, Yevgeny." "And since you decided," Mom said, "since we decided," Dad said, "since we decided that Yaganovka was not a good idea."
"We feel that."
"So, lady, you like to show him the ropes?" Grandma shouted. "Or you just like to sit under my table?"
"Looks like you ran out of room here, Yevgeny," Tatiana Georgievna said, smiling. "Would you like to study art with me in my apartment?"
Instead of answering, I gave her a big smile. The biggest. All right, the end for today. The end for today. We still have maybe one or two times that I'll be coming back to finish reading the story, but I think it's amazing where we left off, because Yevgeny is discovering that he does have a special talent that may earn him some freedom in his country. Because in Soviet Russia, behind the Iron Curtain, people had to have some kind of special talent that their government approved of in order for them to have any freedom. And last time when I was reading the story, we left off, Yevgeny was going to try to be a ballet dancer, and that was definitely not his special talent. So I'm really happy that this week we've ended on a more positive note, right? Things are looking more hopeful for Yevgeny. He's going to have an art teacher, which is quite an amazing thing for where he lives behind the Iron Curtain. His parents are really trying hard to get him what he needs so that he can discover his special talent and hopefully have some freedom like his brother has. His brother is a ballet dancer, and so his brother, his brother is a figure skater. He ice skates and does figure skating, which is a little bit like ballet. And so he and his figure skating partner are able to travel and bring back clothes from the United States of America and things like that. And so we are learning a little bit about freedom. We're learning a little bit about privacy today, too. Because having the privacy to have a conversation. What did you guys think about that part of when Blinov, the KGB spy that lived in the apartment with Yevgeny and his family and the other families, when Blinov left, right, to go follow Baryshnikov to Canada to make sure he didn't defect. when Blinov left the apartment, what do you think it was like? Well, the author describes it a little bit, right? People were able to speak louder, right? They weren't afraid to say what they were saying. They didn't have to whisper. They could speak loudly, and they could also complain about their government. Who knew that that was a freedom, right? That is freedom, to be able to complain about your government. And so they're able to do that because they finally have a little bit of privacy, right? And so we are learning a little bit about privacy today too, our right to privacy. We definitely have a right to freedom and to privacy, and to explore our special talents, which his mother, one more thing I want to talk about, our special talents. Yevgeny's parents both have special talents, don't they? But they're not allowed to express them. Yevgeny's father loves poetry. We're going to learn a little bit more about that in the next couple chapters. His father really loves poetry, but he's not allowed the freedom to enjoy it. And his mother really loves ballet dancing, but she's not allowed the freedom to dance. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that. So we are celebrating freedom. Thank you for joining me for Amy's Kids Show. This next song is actually by kids in Russia. And now that things with the Cold War have sort of
mellowed out. We are over in Russia. People in Russia actually have a little bit more freedom than they did when Yevgeny was growing up. They have a little bit more freedom, and they can watch American television, you know, and do things that we do here in the United States. And one of the things that they do is they have television that is very similar now to our television here in the United States. And they have a show called The Voice, I guess, which is sort of like the show that we have here in our country. And different people come on and sing. And so I just wanted you to experience a little bit of the freedom. Well, maybe it's freedom. But anyway, a little bit more of the freedom to sing and celebrate that they have in Russia now. So this song is called Hallelujah, and it's in Russian, and it's with kids' voices. Thanks for joining me.
Сабиров, Ксения Пономаренко. not my plea was given, no consultancy, no. I say no. Just want freedom and harmony, but it's rolling out all over me, whoa. I say no. Trees endangering birds and the bees, no, we say no, endangering our humanity, whoa, we say no. Cities, your internet of things, no, we say no, it's invasion of our privacy, we know, we say no, a lockdown of humanity, while they're putting up 5G, we say no.
Our schools, on hospitals that just ain't cool, no, we say no. Tell me, is there any proof to say it's safe? We say no. We don't need more radiation, leave us kids alone. We say no.
A great way, I think, to end this episode of Amy's Kid Show. We've been celebrating freedom. We've been celebrating privacy. We've been celebrating special talents and freedom to express and explore our special talents. And what better way than to celebrate with kids from Russia who nowadays are allowed to express their special talents. And also that next song, the last song we just heard, Do Not Consent, is performed by a Vermont steel band and a bunch of kids who really care, right? Who care about privacy, who care about freedom, and who care about the loss of those things, right? Unfortunately,
something that's really weird that I've been thinking about lately is how in Russia the people have gotten more freedom, right? Since the Cold War, they've been getting a little bit more freedom. They're allowed to travel. They're allowed to have their own place and make their own money and decide what they do to work and decide what special talents they want to express. So they have more freedom. And at the same time, here in our country, the United States of America, we've been losing our freedom, right? Having less privacy, which is what that last song was partly about. Less privacy, more technology spying on us all the time. Kind of like having Blinov there in the room with you. Well, that's what it is when you have your cell phone with you, right? It's listening. It's listening in. We have spies everywhere. We have censorship. We're not allowed to say certain things. Certain people aren't allowed to talk. They pretend like some people don't even exist on the TV. And we aren't allowed to ask certain questions if they go against the government. So it's kind of weird that our countries are sort of going in different directions. And at the same time, they're saying they're going to have a war, which I think is just crazy. And it makes me think of Yevgeny's grandmother. You know, what would she say? What? She'd say, what? Now? Now we go to war? What is this? Right? What is this? This doesn't make any sense. And so that's why we're learning about this here on Amy's Kids Show, because kids know all about what's fair, right, guys? What's fair? And it would be fair if all the children of the world had freedom, don't you think? That's what I think. Freedom to express ourselves, freedom to have our own special talents, to find out what they are, freedom to have some privacy, right? Some privacy would be nice. And to be able to ask our parents questions and have them express their own special talents, because parents have special talents too, you know. So you all out there, I hope that you have a fantastic time celebrating freedom, celebrating your special talent, and sharing it with the world, like that steel band that we just heard. Please look that up. Do Not Consent. You can find that song, I'm sure, if you look for it. You guys are the greatest. See you next week.